I would ask you to please turn with me this morning to the book of the prophet Jeremiah and chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. And the subject before us this morning is Thus saith the Lord, Thus says the Lord. In this book of the prophet Jeremiah, there are no less than 150 references to Thus says the Lord. God is speaking with his authority. And we will be considering this passage of scripture in Jeremiah under three headings. First of all, God's authority. And then secondly, God's warning. And then thirdly, God's character. But before we come to these verses under those particular headings, I want to just set the scene and then also to briefly consider the call of Jeremiah, the man with a message from God. You'll notice as we consider the scene and set the scene that there are similarities to our day. Well, in Jeremiah's day, the people took no notice of any of God's warnings. His word was regarded as worthless, irrelevant, out of date. There was just a token respect paid to God, even by professing believers. The Sabbath was a day to get through. It was not a day to be enjoyed. Oh, that we can have these Sabbaths over, that we can get on with the business, was the call of the day. The heart of man was hardened against God. They were in love with their possessions and social activities. Materialism ruled as the god. And as evil got worse and worse, man's pride also increased against God, and it reached unprecedented levels. The people in Jeremiah's day lived in the belief that all things would continue as long as they were. They were in charge of their lives. They didn't make reference to God for guidance, for provision. They were materialistic beings, and they were in control. God was not in all their thoughts. They thought that they could continually rebel against God. They could cling to idolatry and live for the day. And Jeremiah's message from God was vehemently rejected. God's message of impending judgment on Jerusalem was scorned as being a myth. The liberal religious prophets of the time, they cried, peace, peace, where there is no peace. They were crying, peace, peace, but there was no peace, really. There was no basis for peace. There was no assurance properly for peace, because there was no reference to God, the God of peace. But there did come God's stop time. And as he had warned the people faithfully through the prophets and through here his prophet Jeremiah, the people were taken captive into Babylon. Now, secondly, I just want to, in setting the scene, look at the call of Jeremiah. And if we turn back to chapter 1 of Jeremiah, we see his call described. In chapter 1, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations, set you apart in my purposes. Then said I, Lord God, Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Well, we see then in this call of Jeremiah the sovereign plan of God. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I wonder whether we ever think of the pastor's ministry in this way, that God had preordained that the church and the pastor should be together at such a time, and that there was a divine purpose under God in the life of the local church. When we read passages of scripture like this, it creates within us a sense of reverence and fear before God. And we notice here also the humble, cautious reticence of Jeremiah. He was a young man at about this time. He's described here as a youth. He describes himself as a youth, and it is thought that he was around about 20 years of age. And there was no question of Jeremiah rushing into the ministry in an independent manner. His first reaction was, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord assures him, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And there we have the Lord's assurances to encourage commitment, courage. In the ministry. This is God's platform for the ministry. God is with his servants. This is what we need more than anything. We must never run before we are sent. We need God's help, God's strength, God's enabling, the unction of the Holy Spirit to be upon the ministry of the Word of God. And we are to speak the Word of God. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. And we look then at the nature of Jeremiah's preaching ministry. He had a difficult call. He was called by God, ordained by God. He was granted the power of God, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me. So the Lord was in this. He had anointed Jeremiah into the ministry. And he had given him a commission, he'd given him a mission, and he'd given him a message. But this message was difficult. It was a challenging call for Jeremiah. I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Oh, the first aspect of Jeremiah's ministry was very challenging. We must pull down the strongholds of Satan before building up the church of God, is what God is saying here. The foundations must be attended to. And the call of Jeremiah gives us an insight into the importance God places upon the ministry of his word. Preaching is not a job that you apply for. It is a ministry to which God calls you. The principles of his call remained as God's standard today. The sovereign Lord chooses, he calls, he equips, he empowers, he instructs his servants. And they are called to courage and commitment and not be afraid of the faces of the people. Now Jeremiah, as we have noticed, was called as a young man to go into the world and preach God's word, trusting only in God and his word. He was willing to bear shame and ridicule and rejection. And as a young man, he denied himself the opportunities and attractions of the world. He denied his personal ambition. He denied his comforts. He denied his popularity. And as we have seen, the Jeremiah's world in which he was sent forth to preach was not unlike ours. And so we ask the question, as we come to serve the living God, are you, am I, willing to be a Jeremiah for today? There are many people that preach a smooth message, peace where there is no peace, and they will get a lot of acclaim and a lot of support and a lot of popularity. But to have a message and yet knowing that the vast majority in the world would reject it, but for the sake of God's honour and in his mercy and justice, willing to remain on message, even though the vast majority will reject. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the message? We face an uncertain future in this world as far as our religious freedoms are concerned. And if maybe we are called to stand for our message in a way which will bring persecution, this is extremely likely now. And it is a message that will have the effect of pulling down and destroying and throwing down, shaking. And when God calls us to this type of ministry, it costs us dearly. It brings severe opposition. It can affect our own health, mentally and physically. It can wear us out in and of ourselves. And it means, like Jeremiah, rejection and pain. Yet also for Jeremiah, his ministry was to build and to plant. It was not only a pulling down, but there was a building. But he had to pull down before he could build. He had to pull down those false foundations, those false assurances, those false traditions, that false idolatry. And he had to preach a searching ministry. And only then could he begin to build and to plant. But if you build and plant according to the truth, that will also mean opposition and perseverance. And so the question is, are we willing to be considered with Jeremiah as being intolerant or dogmatic? To be misunderstood in your stand for the truth as being, like Jeremiah, a disturber of the peace when you stand for the truth? To be accused of being too straight and narrow? To be accused of being divisive, yet all the while knowing that you do have a passion for God's honour and a love for the gospel, but you are inspired by the fact that you have a true message from the Lord and you know its authority, that your only authority is the message that you have from God. It is the word of God which is our authority. So having set the scene, we come to our text this morning. And we see, we have seen the people, and we have seen the preacher, and now we come to this passage of scripture before us in verse 23 of Jeremiah chapter 9, and we're going to look at these two verses under these three headings: God's authority, God's warning, and God's character. And so, God's authority. Thus says the Lord. Now here we are reminded of the almighty and sovereign and holy God who is full of knowledge and wisdom, the great I Am. Thus says the Lord. And in this manner God is calling our attention. He's calling us to serious reflection of our life. This is God's message this morning to you and to me. Thus says the Lord. Over this rebellious world, the Lord still reigns. He still has a voice. He still has a message. And this brings us to our second heading, God's warning. God's warning. God's authority. And then God's warning. And that brings us here to where the Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. And so the Lord is speaking, first of all, about the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man says, I know best. And this is probably the greatest problem in society today. From the fall, man has been claiming day by day in his sin that he is wiser than God. And here in Jerusalem, man is, in his wisdom, was telling the Lord by their rejection of Jeremiah that God's message through Jeremiah was unwelcome. In fact, it was pointless. It was irrelevant to them. We have our own preachers. We pay them and they tell us what we want them to us to hear. And this message coming from Jeremiah is most unwelcome. It's actually most uncomfortable. And you know, they put him in a dungeon because and in a pit because they rejected his message. What right had Jeremiah to disturb their philosophy and way of life with these warnings, to come and spoil their peace in this world? Jeremiah, you are always so negative. We want an upbeat message. We want something to motivate our self-esteem, to make us feel good about ourselves, and go into the coming week with a sense of assurance and confidence. We want to feel good about ourselves. And we have preachers who say to us they have words of wisdom. And their words of wisdom are comfortable things. They tell us that our prosperity will continue. Yet in reality, as in our world today, sin gets worse and worse, and society is in a downward spiral morally. And the selfish voice of man's wisdom shouts even louder. Our way is best. We do it our way. And this may be in the deep recesses of your heart this morning, your cry, that deep down in your heart you are saying, I'm going to do this matter my way. And in so doing, you despise God's word. And you have a philosophy of life that is working for you, but it allows no room for God in your thinking. God is not in all their thoughts. And even in this crisis that we are facing, the heart of man in this nation, it seems to remain unmoved. It doesn't turn towards God, but it remains in man's wisdom. It remains. The scriptures speak of God being not in all their thoughts. And we see this today as a nation. There is no notice taken of God. There's no reference to God. He is an irrelevance. The nation's leaders have positive talk to us. We will fight this epidemic. We will win. We will bounce back. We will overcome. And they are working very hard, undoubtedly, to overcome. But we don't hear our leaders stopping to ask the question, what about God in this situation? Great respect is shown to incredible money raisers like Captain Tom, who walked around his home 100 times, and a very commendable labour that he had. And great respect is shown to him. Millions of pounds are raised. But God remains irrelevant. Man in his wisdom rejects God and glories in his own wisdom. My wisdom is my guide. I know best how to get out of this situation. But it is a future which does not depend upon God. And if we as a nation do not humble ourselves before the living God in a crisis such as this, then we can expect more severe warnings from God. A sense of false security. And yet God comes at times like this and he shakes us. And he shakes the nation and he says to us in his permissive providence that the things we are dependent upon, cracks are appearing. Consider your wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. We had friends who owned a house, and this is many years ago, in which cracks kept appearing in the walls. Eventually, engineers were called. They investigated and they found that the house had been built over a mine shaft, over a hole. And that is man's wisdom. If we are to just trust in man's wisdom, it might look all right on the outside our lives, but the cracks will begin to appear and we'll find it's over a void. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. In and around Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day, there was pride in the Jewish army of soldiers. There was pride in the might of the walls around the city. The temple building at that time was magnificent. People came from far off countries to Jerusalem to look at the temple, to see the multicultural nature of the city. Jerusalem was a city of learning. It boasted many academics and theologians. It was a city of tradition, of culture and architecture. And there was syncretism in the religion there, very similar to our postmodernism of today. And the city on the hill felt strong and secure. So it is, we might say, in London and in other cities. But then God shakes the cities. But man, in the hardness of his heart, glories in his power, in his strength, in his ability, in his successes, in his wealth. Man takes great store in his staying power, his fighting spirit to come out on top. Yet now we know for sure the situation can be changed under God's permissive will in a very short time. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. So God is warning us against depending upon our wisdom, our might, and thirdly, our riches. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And the scripture tells us that the love of money, the dependence on money, is the root of all kinds of evil. And yet society encourages us to think, as in Jeremiah's day, that greed is good. Success is measured by wealth and possessions. A rich image is everything to people in society today. This is evidenced in the clothes, the trainers, the phones, the TVs, the cars. Look at me and my possessions. My money is my God. And we see this even locally here when the lockdown is over. And there is a movement again in society, in purchasing. Then the design centre, designer goods centre in our local town. The car park will be full. They've had to double the size of the car park to fit all the cars in, to come and get all these designer goods. People come from London, people come from France, people gather from many miles away to come and to purchase these designer type goods. And self-esteem depends upon what you look like. It is called power dressing. And you become a slave to how people look at you on the outside. I glory in my riches and what I'm wearing, and the handbag I'm carrying, and the watch I'm wearing, the sunglasses I'm wearing, and you put store upon them. This gives me street credibility. I need to have the right trainers to gain respect. It makes me feel good about myself, superior in my demeanour. And yet in a short time, as we see in today's day, under God's permissive warning, riches and investments can diminish drastically. Who would have thought at the end of last year that by mid-April the value of oil would be zero? In fact, oil traders are paying companies to take their allotment of oil from them. And all that has happened is God has just withdrawn his restraining hand upon corruption and upon sicknesses and upon evil in this world, just a little. You see, God is so long-suffering. He restrains evil. He restrains so much of plagues that could be here. But occasionally in the history, God does allow to warn a nation, and nations, and to realize that we must not depend upon what we think are worthwhile things, what we think are signs of security. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, be proud about his wisdom, set himself on high about his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, big himself up. And let not the rich man glory in his riches and look down upon the poor and think that by his riches he's successful, she's successful. No, this is man's way. And the Lord says, thus says the Lord, let not, nor let. These are commands from God. There has to be a better way. And so we come to the better way this morning. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Here is a totally different approach. The whole direction is totally different. There has been a change in our text, a complete reversal. Instead of a man focusing upon his wisdom and his might and his riches, the way of wisdom is opposite from this. It is the glory in knowing the Lord, understanding the Lord. Here is the one safe place to glory in this morning, to glory in the Lord, to understand and know the Lord. Here is the true way of wisdom, of might and riches, to understand. It means to wholeheartedly realize the importance and significance of this issue. God enlightens your mind by his Holy Spirit to see matters as they really are, that he understands. He understands the situation. He understands the times. The men of Issachar were commended because they were men who understood the times. And do we stop and consider the times that we are living in? And the wise way is to understand, what is God saying? What is the message from God? We have messages from the Queen and presidents and prime ministers. But what is the message from God? This is the crucial issue this morning. Firstly, God is who he says he is. He is eternal. He is holy. He is almighty. This is understanding. Therefore, authority of thus says the Lord is accepted as reality, truth, to be submitted to understand, to be a person of wisdom, firstly, is to recognize and submit to and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the word of God. Thus says the Lord and the wise man. Glories in this, that he understands and knows me. He's been brought to this a remarkable position where he believes in God, trusts in God, submits to God, and listens to the thus said the Lord. And he understands that God is a God that exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness. I am the Lord. The attributes of the Lord are accepted as true reality. A part of the character of God, and we humble ourselves and we worship the Lord. I am the Lord. And we know this by faith. who exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness. All these remarkable attributes of the Lord, his loving kindness and yet his justice and his righteousness, his purity. And the fruit of this enlightenment of the mind is to glory in both the authority and attributes of the Lord. This is the fruit of the enlightened mind this morning. Thus says the Lord, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, and this enlightened mind glories in the authority that I am the Lord, and the attributes of the Lord. Loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. And so the wise man this morning says, God is in control. God is the God of heaven and earth. We cannot fight against God. The only wise way is to submit to the authority of God. Thus says the Lord, I am the Lord. And then praise him, worship him, because he is the God that exercises loving kindness. He is so patient with this rebellious world, giving people time to repent of their sin. He exercises judgment. He's always exercising judgment in a just way. Undoubtedly true that the world is experiencing a measure of the judgment of God. And the wise man understands that God is not out of this situation, that God remains in control, and God is speaking, he has a voice, and righteousness, that God is a God who is righteous in all his ways. As for God, his way is perfect. To know then, to understand, is what we've been speaking about here, and know me. Understand about God, the doctrine of God, the character of God, but to know me. To obey the Lord. Follow him. In a living relationship with him by faith, to know him, to understand and to know me, to walk with me, to learn of me. And so we are considering God's way and God's answer to life this morning. This is God's answer. God says there is nothing better, nothing that can outclass this reality in your life of understanding and knowing the Lord. It is the greatest blessing and benefit known to man. It means you have a right relationship with the Lord, both for time and eternity. You are no longer under his anger, but you're under his smile of grace and mercy. Let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me. But the question must be asked, however can these blessings come to me? How can this truth become a living reality in my life? We are not born with these blessings. We're not born with a nature towards God. We are born with a nature which glories in our own wisdom, our own might. We're not born a Christian, and we're not saved by our family or our works or tradition or denomination or even by baptism. We can only understand and know the Lord through the person and work of Christ. He is the key that unlocks the door into a blessed relationship with God. And so the verse is therefore an invitation from the Lord. He's saying to us this morning in his word, turn from boasting in your opinions, in your wisdom, and in your own perceived strength, and in your own perceived riches, which you think are secure, but they are not. Turn from yourself, your wisdom, your might, your riches, to boasting in the Lord. This verse is calling us to trust in Christ alone this morning for salvation and security and spiritual riches, to glory in him. And how can we be so sure of this connection with Christ? Well, listen to what Paul writes. He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We considered this verse a little while ago, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. This is the way where true glory should be. This is the person in whom we should glory. Let him glory in the Lord. And when coming to the church at Corinth, to the city of Corinth, where the church was formed under Paul's ministry, after he had been preaching the gospel in the power of God, he tells the church at Corinth, when he writes to them at a later date, how it was all of God and all of God's grace. And he sums it up like this. He said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But he also has the same tenure of thought in his letter to the Galatians. And he says to the church at Galatia, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so we come to Christ this morning. He is the answer to us this morning. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we glory in his deity. I am the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And we can glory in his loving kindness. He came to live here upon this earth in loving kindness to needy sinners, and he lived a perfect life. He taught perfect truth. He healed the sick. He had compassion on the needy. And then he did something most wonderful, the most wonderful event and action ever to take place upon this earth. He went to Calvary's cross, and there, on the behalf of sinners who trust in him, he suffered God's just wrath. So glory as Paul does upon the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we can be forgiven of our sins and be made right with God, and have peace with God. And then remember, it says here, I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment. Oh, he suffered the judgment of God on behalf of sinners upon the cross. But when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know from God's word that he's coming again. And he will be the judge of the whole earth on that great day, the perfect judge. And there will be a solemn division between the believer and the unbeliever. I am the Lord. I exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. Glory in his righteousness. His righteous life, his righteous rule, his righteous nature. And as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are justified by faith in him, presented righteous before God, glory in this, in his righteousness. Glory in his work as Saviour of the world. Righteousness in the earth. The gospel spreads throughout the earth. Glory in these things. The Lord delights in these things. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, the Father cried from heaven to the Lord Jesus while here upon earth. And the Lord Jesus has been accepted back into heaven, gloriously our Saviour, ascending up on high, resurrected, ascended, victorious over sin and death and hell, and at the Father's right hand, even as we speak. Who are you glorying in this morning? Is it yourself? Is it your philosophy of life? Is it your wisdom? Or is it the Lord Jesus? To understand and know the Lord for yourself, you must acknowledge wholeheartedly that the Lord God is Almighty. The Lord God reigns. He is the Holy God. Thus says the Lord. And that you are a rebel and a sinner, and you are unable to save yourself, and you are unable to save yourself from God's just wrath and judgment. And your greatest need, if you're an unbeliever, if you are unsaved this morning, is to respond to God's gracious invitation to come as a sinner to Christ as your Saviour. And this means that you sincerely repent of your sin. You do this huge about turn, and instead of glorying in your wisdom, you glory in the Lord. This is what repentance means. It's forsaking the world, your wisdom, your independence, and putting your trust only in Christ. To understand about yourself, what you are by nature, to understand who God is, holy, and to know the Lord for yourself as your personal Saviour and Lord. And the fruit of this exercise means that you submit to his Lordship and you follow him in obedience. And so, dear friend, what are you glorying in this morning? Do you understand and know the Lord? Do you understand the times that we are living in? If you don't, you have nothing whatsoever to glory in. What you are glorying in is a vapour. The people in Jeremiah's day gloried in their wisdom, their might, their riches. But it was all taken away when they went into captivity, as God warned them. They gloried in their wisdom, in their might, in their riches, but they did not understand the times. They didn't understand the Lord. They did not know the Lord for themselves. They proudly depended upon their own wisdom, their own might, and their riches, glorying in them. As people today glory in their wisdom, in their might and riches, are you one of the crowd this morning? Are you impressed with the philosophy of this world and its values? Are you captured by the internet, by the YouTube, by Twitter, by the philosophy of this world, the wisdom of this world, and you keep downloading and watching and listening to all these things that are put on and posted on, filling your mind with the wisdom of this world? Or are you prepared this morning to heed God's warning, to be a wise person, understand the times, and come to understand God and know God, and humble yourself before the mighty God, that he might lift you up in his grace and wisdom in Christ Jesus? I leave you with this question. Are you prepared to be different? To dare to be like Daniel, who stood on his own? He got thrown into the den of lions, but God was with him and delivered him. Are you willing this morning to dare to stand alone under God's power, in God's strength, and say, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, to say with the Lord, thus says the Lord, and say, amen, Lord, this is right, this is wisdom. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercise in loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. And we say, O Lord, we want to live a life under God, trusting in the Lord Jesus, that pleases the Lord, that delights the Lord. The Lord delights in loving kindness. He delights in just judgment. He delights in righteousness in the earth. Are we a testimony to that? Will we be a testimony to that in our own lives as we follow the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Amen.